It's time to spark it up with the Kennel Linguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
TSA tags a grenade-shaped grinder in Sacktown. Former Red Wings player uses medical marijuana to cure his alcoholism. Has DARE gone soft on marijuana? I hope so, because fuck them. Legal marijuana is finally doing what the drug war couldn't hear on the Kennel Linguists with your host, Alex Mandelberg, the other host, stoned as fuck. Not the one hitting the bong right now, April O'Connor, but the one who is hitting the bong, our guest for today, the very wonderful Frank Castillo. How you doing, Frank? What's going on, baby?
Good, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
You brought a healthy amount of fucking wax here with you.
A slab. So, it's a mini slab.
I would call that a slab. That is fair to call a slab. So thank you for that.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Thank you very much for that.
You guys said it was a weed podcast, so I thought I'd bring a lot.
You know what? We say that, and there's usually that means guests bring their appetite for weed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But once in a while, it means the guests are like, well, I'll bring what I'm fucking bringing. Yeah. And I love those guests so much more. I'm trying to remember who was the one who brought, like, he came
Philly
in.
Philly Phil. He brought all the edibles.
He just brought a box of just sample edibles of like 12 different kinds. He brought a saltwater taffy that, like, fuck the fact that weed was in it.
It was just a delicious
saltwater. Saltwater caramel.
Oh, wow.
Salted caramel.
They're called smooches at LA Confidential.
It was a delicious salted caramel without weed. Mm-hmm. With weed, it was fucking the greatest salted caramel I've ever had in my life, bar
none.
Yeah,
he puts dank ingredients.
Maybe the greatest candy I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
It's definitely a top five candy.
Yeah.
So just the fact that you brought a slab of wax with you, you just made top five guests. Congratulations,
thanks,
Frank.
Man.
Congratulations, Frank. That is, you can put that, we'll have an award made for you.
Sweet.
I'll probably just write it on one of the envelopes in here that just says, like, here's an award for being a top five guest.
And then we have the hippie magic, and he's in town again this week.
Oh, is hippie magic coming back? Oh, gosh. See, that one, this man, I still don't know his name. He just told me to call him Medicine Man. He told me his name once, but, like, I guess it was a test that, like, you'll either remember it this one time or forever we'll have to call me Medicine Man.
And
I
just anonymity.
I always have to call him Medicine Man now. Yeah. But he gave me it's sitting right here. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Drop some of that on your tongue. See what that does.
Not under your tongue.
Not under, on. See what that does to your world.
4 to 6 drops.
That's alcohol he made himself, made with weed he made himself, made into fucking.
It's called a spagyric.
Oh, just one?
No.
Go for like.
Five.
Don't go fucking crazy like April's saying, you know.
No, you're fine. And it'll wear off by the time you gotta get to work. Don't worry. It's like it's like a more euphoric thing.
Yeah, it's much more euphoric. It doesn't get you fucking high.
No, what he does is he distills the alcohol for longer to, like, make it be biodynamic and really, really clean.
That's a nice way of saying he makes moonshine. He makes moonshine.
Yeah,
so
it's weed moonshine.
It's weed moonshine is what you had five drops of it.
And then he makes a tincture from trimmed bud with that alcohol. And then he has other ones that have other cool things in it too, and
like mushrooms.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, she wasn't going to say it, so I'll say it. Like mushrooms, you know, the things that make you see things that aren't there.
So he distills, like, I mean, he does a tincture out of it, but then the leftover stuff, they burn it, like, and then kiln it, so it's a raw cell salt, they add that back to the tincture that he made from the bud already. And then it ferments and becomes stronger and stronger over time. It takes like 6 months to a year. The 6X takes a year to make.
Wow.
It's super heady.
That's crazy.
It also takes a year to make because he's like, I can only do it on Mondays because Monday is the weed day with the stars and the moon. Yeah. And I'm like,
I'm not going to tell you that science says no to that, but you this may. Is delicious.
Why does
That's what I'll say.
Why does Jack have paint on him?
Well, I'll say is this is delicious, and if science says everything you're doing is wrong, I'm not going to be the one to tell him that.
I'll let
someone else be that dick. I'll just sit here and use his product.
Yeah, you don't want to ruin the routine.
No, fucking it. I did kind of basically say that to him. I went, listen, I'm not going to tell you that doing it on Mondays is not helping at all.
No, look at the farmer's the farmer's almanac. Like, historically, people were using the stars to farm. That's like when you knew what the right time of year
you
was.
You were using the seasons to farm. I mean,
the stars tell you where you are in the season.
Yeah, but I don't think doing marijuana growing stuff on Mondays makes it more magical.
Sure does.
I don't. No, you're not going to get that one out of me.
That's not too hippie for me.
No, God, that is so – that has got to be the upper edge of April's hippie scale. Come on. That's really up there hippie-wise.
I know.
What's the hippiest thing you've – like, what's the hippiest thing?
I'm trying to remember the thing that happened on the show that was too hippie for April, because something happened. It was fucking amazing that it happened. I still can't believe we had something too hippie on this show for you. Do you remember?
No, not off the top of my head. It'll come to me.
I can't imagine why you'd forget anything that happened.
I just remember and I went on the show. Okay, that's not no.
That's too hippie for me.
It's very rare to hear that. I'll think of it. It'll come to me.
All right. So opening up the show, TSA tags a grenade-shaped marijuana grinder that a kid was trying to fly out of Sacramento. Okay. You know, don't feel bad for the kid. Not even remotely. I don't know why. We were talking about this pre-show. I don't know what stoners for all of this paranoia that we have. The fact that we obsess with buying paraphernalia shaped like shit that you're not legally allowed to possess. I don't fucking get it. Why you'd want a lighter shaped like a gun? What's the one thing you don't want a cop to think you have? A fucking gun. Yeah, yeah. Why would you want a lighter shape? Like, so a grenade shaped grinder. That's like, that's shoot on sight shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even. And ask questions to make sure things.
I think if they put it in their suitcase. So anything that resembles a grenade going through, because they do scan it.
Yeah, but that's like kind of hard, high drugs in like a heroin needle and then putting it right in your bag. You know what I mean? And it's like tons of heroin needles. You're like, well, how'd they find my coke?
Yeah, no, that's like...
And he put it with his marijuana, so his marijuana...
Yeah, no, that's the thing.
Too.
It's like going... And TSA has even said they're not looking for weed. They don't want weed. It's too much of a headache for them to look for weed. They're playing the three monkey game with marijuana.
This is
right
on the TSA's Instagram, the picture of it. It says anything resembling a grenade is prohibited in both carry-on and checked baggages. Duh.
And I mean, such a fucking duh.
Hide it in shampoo or like a Pepsi bottle or anything else.
That's the thing, but this is what I don't understand, because I did this dumb shit as a kid too. Yeah. Why? Why do we buy grenade-shaped grinder? Get a fucking grinder.
It was in his carry-on. Not in his check bag.
He's a fucking asshole.
Idiot.
He's a fucking
idiot. He's lucky
idiot.
He didn't get taken down to the ground.
He's a dumbass.
He's making stoners everywhere look bad.
God damn it. I hate stoners so much. They're just so fucking dumb. Like the stoners.
Yeah.
A guy who do this. These are the people that they think we are.
Yeah.
And it drives me fucking crazy. I don't want to be related to these. It's like that when you go to that family reunion and you got that one family member in the corner that you're just like, oh, I fucking share chromosomes with this fucking person. What the people think we're the same. People think that, like, no, we're that's what these fucking stoners do to me. Because everyone, I'm a stoner. I'm an everyday smoker. I just had this conversation with someone at work today. When she was just going, yeah, I remember you used to be crazy. And I'm like, yeah, I've been smoking weed every day before work for 10 years. She's like, you're high right now. I'm like, yeah. Smoked weed right before I got out of my car to come in here.
Yeah, same.
She's like, well, your eyes are? I'm like, yeah, no, you wouldn't know, because I'm not like, I'm changing my mind space so I can be in a quiet space and not bounce off the walls like a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, that's how I was at Starbucks. Every time I'd have to go into work, I would just have to get super baked, just because, one, it was an anxious job and I hated it.
Yeah.
The only way I'd be cool with people
you got my latte
high.
Wrong.
Yeah, no, fucking the only way you don't grab that latte and be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, and then fucking spill it on their face and then spit on the back of their head is the fact that you're high.
I once said, I was like, I'm sorry, sir. Listen, I'll do whatever you want. I don't want to argue with you over milk. And he was just like, he just looked at me and was like, it's not milk. It's my coffee. I was like, yeah. It's milk and espresso, bro. I'm pressing buttons here. All right. I'm not a fucking rocket scientist.
Believe it or not, my college degree, not in this. I do have one. It isn't in this. I apologize. If only I would use my degree, maybe you'd have been happier with my work.
I'm probably the reason a lot of people got fired at their jobs. Like, they come and it's like, oh man, why is Mr. Johnson so upset? Someone messed up his coffee. How was that someone?
Oh, yeah. I saw my Russian boss do that. She, like, called the Starbucks when she got to work, and she was like, there's so much milk in my coffee, and it's cold, and I need my coffee. I'm like, they don't care.
They don't care. They give no fucks.
They don't give a
shit. They got your $375. Yeah. It's already in the bank, bitch.
My manager once, she wrote me up because she knew I was antagonizing someone. I was like, dude, I didn't know what happened. It just kind of disappeared, and she was just like, really? You don't know what happened at all. Like, nah, man, it was an honest mistake.
Tell me what happened.
Oh, I just
Oh yeah, that story needs more detail.
They were buying their drinks, and it was like a family thing, and they bought like just a certain amount of pastries, and I just didn't write two of the bags. I was like, you know, I'm just not going to do this. Like, it's going to be a problem. I'm going to get yelled at. But it's worth it. Yeah, I was like, I want to interrupt your day for the next 15 minutes. Like, you know what? You've pissed me off enough to deal with whatever is going to happen in the night. You know, but I just know that 15 minutes of your day is now taken up by me. I felt so powerful.
Wow, that's kind of – I mean, you've already, working at Starbucks, have a tremendous amount of power.
It's a little sadistic, though.
It's one of the only places that I've seen – like, here's the thing. I go and get fast food, and they fuck up my order. It's like, oh, shit. Whatever. But, like,
no,
when someone goes to get coffee,
great pleasure
if that's
in pissing someone
fucked
off,
up,
that was fucked up.
It's just like, I can't – that's my – I need to start my day. This is how I start my day. You can't take away how I – like, people get
– no, you fucking, really could fuck their day up.
You could really screw – like – I remember the amount of relief that was taken off. The guy who I go on the road with, Justin Ruppel, he obsesses about his coffee. And one day he was like, he had to go on stage and he wasn't able to go get the coffee. I'm like, dude, I'll go get your coffee. I'm on next. And he goes, oh, okay, but you don't know how. I'm like, I've watched you make your coffee enough. I can do it. And I could tell he was so nervous that I wouldn't make his fucking coffee the right way with the right amount of sugar and cream. And when I brought it to him, he's like, I can trust someone else to get my car. Like he wanted to cry. I could tell he kind of wanted to cry a little bit, knowing that there was one more person he could trust to get him coffee in this world.
That's a power, man.
That's a big thing.
There was one lady who came into work. She was rude to everyone all the time. She was rude to me. And she didn't like anyone. And I remember one time I had to make her coffee. And I made her coffee so fucking good once that she would only order it with me and as if I was working. And it got to a point where, like, I had to – she knew my schedule because she knew I was she knew I was the only one that could make her drink right. And she was – it was one of those things where, like, she loved me for it. And that was it, man. She didn't let anyone else make her drink. If someone else was behind bar, she'd be like, all right, cool, just get me this. Like, it just – it was great,
that's
man.
Amazing.
That's a huge – yeah, see, you won her over.
Oh, yeah, dude. And she was just – I remember I quit, and she was so upset. She was just so upset.
The only one who could make my coffee right.
Oh, jeez. That is good. That is very funny. All right. I have to ask before I move on. What dangerous-shaped grinder paraphernalia have you guys had?
Have I ever had? I just had a Pepsi bottle it wasn't even dangerous-shaped. I've never really had anything super crazy that was just scary looking. I mean, I had a lighter gun. That was it.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense to me to be concealing something kind of illegal with something really illegal. Like,
the Pepsi can is like, I feel like that's what everyone had
makes
to
sense.
Conceal.
Yeah, to conceal it.
What was inside.
I mean, unless they're trying to say, like, it's for grinding up the bum, you know?
No. I mean,
but it's like but why would you want to take – like, a grinder is, like, quasi-legal.
Yeah, that's a decorative grinder you leave at home. That's a grinder.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, every time I almost make a routine out of it. It's like, listen, if I'm going to bring Bud with me, I buy the paraphernalia when I get to where I'm going, and I get cheap shit,
yeah.
And I toss it when I'm done. Like, I usually go get a $5 lighter, a $2 grinder, a bag of papers, and fucking done.
Yeah.
And you're supporting some local smoking economy, too. Just hit up local head shops if you're that much of a smoker.
Yeah.
It's nice to visit a local head shop.
Just buy a grinder, yeah, where you're going. They're not.
They have plastic ones. Those plastic ones.
Disposable.
And this really nice decorative grinder, like, fucking check it. Fucking check the bag.
No, that's even worse.
No, because you can't pull the pin on a fucking grenade that's in underneath the fucking thing. They'll look at it, they'll open it, and they'll probably, at that point, if they see it's a grinder, be like, okay, and shove it back in your bag. They'll open your bag, yes, but then they'll look and see and go, eh, fuck it, we don't want
to.
Well,
they made a point to say, both carry on and checked baggage, that anything resembling a grenade is prohibited. Anything.
Who'd have thought carrying on something that looks like something that could kill a bunch of people on the plane wouldn't be allowed on the plane?
Fucking Obama, man.
Fucking really Obama.
Like, they won't even let my friend.
Trump 2016, make America great again.
My friend has one of those brass knuckle cell phone cases, which is really handy when you're trying to hold your phone one handed and you got like a big foot. But
and a violent weapon.
Yeah, and you can't.
And also a violent weapon.
You can't fly with that.
No, you can't.
No.
Because you could fucking rock someone's world with that upside the head. You could end someone's life.
Game over.
Violently. It's terrible. You're not supposed to. Oh, God. Stoners and the fucking yeah, duh laws that have to be made because of how dumb we are. It's fucking upsetting.
It's getting to the point. I mean, the thing that scares me is growing up, my mom's a huge conspiracy theorist, and she's just kind of an all around crazy lady and like a witch, wick. And she's just. And
nice.
She's
a very oh, is she, is she? Is she one of those 9/11s and inside jobs? She
yeah,
truther?
She's, oh, she's one of those
I'm
people.
So sorry.
No, it's fine, man. She's
how many
just,
times have you had to have that whole conversation about you don't need to melt the steel for it to bend? Yeah.
But she's just one of those people that believes in. I mean, she believes what she believes. But, dude, she'll say some random shit, and then it's like things like Trump and crazy things will happen. I'm just like, and it's kind of right, but not really, but just right enough to where she'll look at me and be like, huh? And I'm just like, fuck, man. This is scary. This is getting crazy. I think there's way too many more stupid people than there are regular stupid
people.
Now,
is your mom one of the crazy right-wing conspiracy theorists or crazy left-wing? Because you're always far to one side if you're doing
it. She's kind of weirdly in the middle about it. She's like, Obama's on it. We're going to get rid of all the Mexicans. We need to go to space and or have a bomb shelter. And she's like, lizard people are real. And I'm just like.
I think me and your mom would be buddies.
Everyone loves my mom.
Lizard people.
God damn it, April, you fucking hippie. You're such a fucking hippie.
I'm yeah, sure. Jeez, I'll take it.
Why don't you grab your patchouli oil and go fucking, you know.
Patchouli something.
You know, go smell like a dirty, rotten, homeless person fucked a rotten egg.
Hilarious.
Fucking patchouli oil wearing motherfucker.
I don't wear, I have amber on today.
You own patchouli oil though, don't you?
I own patchouli oil, but I don't wear it. I diffuse it.
What? That's even what I don't know what that means, which makes it worse. What are you doing with the fucking patchouli oil?
Into the air.
What are you like the Armenian?
Oh, because God forbid you smell like the shit. You think everything else should?
Yeah, burn incense or diffuse it because it actually patchouli gives you energy, like physical energy. So if it's a good thing to burn when you're cleaning your house,
energy to get away from it.
No, yeah, because when you smell it, you're like, holy fuck, I have the energy to not be around this smell right now. Of course, like that's. No, I'm gonna bust up your little hippie fest with some science here and say no. I'm gonna say no. Patchouli oil released into the air.
I think it's just opinion.
I think it's science is what it is. I think it's science. I'm gonna go with science on this one.
Yeah.
I'm dropping heavy science. April said you're like you're Alex. You're a little extra moody today. Yeah, I'm fucking dropping heavy science today. Alex is dropping all that science on
Something's
you.
Something's in the stars. I've been fucking ornery the past Jesus. Few days.
Oh, you're just
don't
I just took it back
hippie.
There.
You're taking it right back to the hippiness. You fucking hippie.
Something's in the stars.
Something's in the stars. You know, I'm feeling this weird. You know what? Listen, I was having a great day, and then you know, fucking Mercury just started pulling me right towards the negativity. God, you know. I was happy until fucking Mercury. God damn it, man.
Retrograde, bro.
Yeah, God. That's
no,
not,
a, we're not in
another
that.
Thing that isn't real.
We're not in that.
Shut
another,
up.
All these things it. That
Shut
aren't
up.
Real.
Okay, moving right along.
Oh, now the hippie wants to move along. So former Red Wing Darren McCarthy is saying that he cured his alcoholism with medical marijuana. Now, this is...
I don't think he said cured.
After a history of alcoholism, he's used medical marijuana to save his life. That's the quote. He said, I've used medical marijuana and it saved my life.
He can read. Good.
Well, you know what? You don't have to be a hippie and in line with the earth and moon and stars to know how letters line up. Yeah. You and me, we had some different opinions on this because I'm glad this guy is healthier if he is, but if you have addiction to the point of like alcoholism ruining your life and you're just switching that addiction to marijuana, well, that is – I heard someone say one time and it blew my mind and I didn't realize what it meant until probably right around this moment when he went, the worst thing about a marijuana addiction is it won't kill you.
Yeah.
So you can just kind of live your whole life as an addict.
Yeah.
A marijuana addict?
Well, here's the thing. Addiction is addiction. I really do believe that. Yeah. You have addictive personalities or
you
don't.
Are you a marijuana addict?
I have an addictive personality. I admit it. I'm not condoning what this guy does. I'm going like, yeah, but I kind of do. Like I said early on, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have marijuana and foul language be my addictions in life. And that'll mean no cocaine or heroin. Like, so, you know, that I get it. But on the same page, I also go, I also always had limits. I was able to know when I was done. Like, that was never a problem. And that is what I've realized is what the alcoholism, real addiction, that's what that is. Like, do I have addictive personality? Absolutely. Am I addicted? No, I know limits and I could stop.
Yeah.
That's the truth of that. So when someone has this real addiction, I don't know if it's good to just switch addiction.
I disagree. I think that there's a huge, like more than 50% of the people that use cannabis medicinally is to have an alternative to synthetic drugs and, you know, painkillers. Some people are even allergic to opiates. And yeah, those people might not be addicts, but in a way,
but
they
that's
are.
A completely
when
different.
You're stuck on pain pills, and
but
then
that's
there
a
are
completely
people,
different
people,
story.
No, but I know people that are addicts that are completely off of what you know. Not even.
I guess this falls into that.
Opioids.
Do you believe addiction to be an actual disease? A disease.
Well, for me, I think addiction is it's one of those things where it's like. If you're addicted to alcohol, we can all agree that alcohol is more detrimental
yeah,
or damaging
absolutely.
Than marijuana.
It'll hurt you more.
Yeah. When it comes to addiction, it's like whenever I look at people that go to like Alcoholics Anonymous things, that's cool. But it's also like you start to realize that it's like that is also just their addiction now. Like,
it's awful.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's awful. It's what
no,
they
it,
have
it absolutely
to, no, but it's good
is.
For
it's,
them.
It's what they have to do.
It becomes
to not,
a new. It becomes
a
new
addiction.
It's,
so that's
it's
what
good
it,
for them.
Yeah, but that's.
But the, I've also always kind of been a little bit against the 12-step process for that. Yeah, is that yeah, I go? Yeah. You're not helping the addict. You're just giving them something else to be addicted to.
I've had court ordered AA and I've been like, this is depressing. Yeah.
There's
I wanted to drink leaving there. I was like, this is fucking depressing. Like, cause you, I get people, they find their strength in numbers to overcome. And I've never had like a real serious addiction. Like, I mean, I smoked cigarettes and stuff, but I've luckily never, you know, got hooked on opiates or really ever cared for them because I have it in my family. But
Are you crying right now?
I'm not. No, I was scratching. Shut up. No, I just think that like there's so
something in my eyes. Shut up.
Shut the fuck up. No, there's so many people out there that you know if you these drugs are synthetic versions. The people that get hooked on opiates usually start by taking opioids. The one you know.
Most heroin addicts start with Vicodin.
And they're synthesized versions of the herbal drug. Like there are all – like if you're addicted to like Valiums or Xanax, it comes from valerian root. But if you take valerian root, it's not addictive. So when you're going back to like whole plant medicinals, hippie talk.
Well, no, because heroin's still addictive.
Yeah. Also, heroin is addictive, but it's...
Cocaine's still addictive.
Well, but there's salt. They use solvents to extract it, just like...
It's not
pure coca. You chew on coca leaf, it's not addictive.
Yeah. Well, it's. I think marijuana is... It can be psychologically addictive. It's the person.
Yeah.
But also, like, there's a psychologist that I really like. Can't remember his name right now. But he said that... he classifies addiction as something that hinders your life or ruins it and stops you from being able to live comfortably. So it's like there's this – so it's like say you're a heroin user.
Which, by the way, is the worst definition for addiction. But if
you're a heroin user and you use heroin casually every day but it doesn't stop you from going to work, you can still live, function, you're not ruining your life, and then it's like, is that an addiction?
That was Owen Wilson.
But it's a hindrance.
And no one knew that was Owen Wilson for a decade.
Yeah,
and I remember when people found out, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, for the last decade, he's been on horse.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, is it ruining your life? Is it fucking terrifying? But some people know that control and can, you know,
just functional.
You know what I mean?
But that's still a hindrance because you're hiding away your addiction. I mean, I lost a really close friend that none of us even knew. Only a few people knew. So, I mean, you're not getting a full quality of life. You could be so much more, but you're still going to work. Yeah. But you're not applying
yourself.
Part
of the reason that I've started being so open and honest with a lot of people that I work with about the fact that I smoke marijuana before work is the fact that I go, I don't want to be an addict who hides in the corner like that I'm using. If I really believe this is medical, then this is something where I'm saying to them, like, yes, if I can change your thought process at all, know that right now and all this time that you've been talking about, all this wonderful work that I do, I've been high as shit. Because it's the only way that I could be here and function in this place.
Yeah.
It's the medication that allows me to do that.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people would say that makes that an addiction, the fact that I need it to do my job. I'm like, yeah. I feel like if it was an addiction, I'd feel like I needed to hide it.
Yeah.
And I don't feel the need to hide it anymore. Yeah, I tell people. Yeah, yeah. I just go, I smoke weed before work because it lets me be calm. It lets me be in this place. But, you know, I understand this. I'm happy this guy. If this guy is, quote unquote, cured of his alcoholism because of marijuana, God bless.
Yeah. I'd rather him drive Superstone than
yes, absolutely. I still think that marijuana is a much better option than 12-step. I think 12-step is it's done a lot of good. It's helped a lot of people, but
it's culty.
It's very culty.
It's culty as fuck.
It's one poison and I had punch some, like, away from a.
It treats the it treats the symptoms. It does not treat the disease.
Yeah. I had some fucking toothless dude telling me that, like, I'm not sober if I smoke weed. And I'm like, but I'm not drinking right now. So they're like, yeah, but you're not sober if you smoke weed. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't smoke crack, sir. I'm sorry, I have all my teeth.
Yeah.
You know, don't judge me.
Yeah, I feel weird when other people from different other drug users judge other drug users. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so wonderful. Like, well, you're not sober, you're still smoking weed. I'm like, well, yeah, but not sucking dick for coke. So never did that, really. So go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it can be interesting.
It's like, we get it. You didn't. No, I'm just kidding.
The only thing worse than the AA meetings, I really, the one group of just real high and mighty pretentious fucks, Al-Anon. Al-Anon drives me nuts.
What's Al-Anon?
Al-Anon is the support for people who are with addicts. And, well, that seems like something that can be really helpful.
It's been recommended to me a bunch.
It's a group that really, like, when you, like, here's the thing. Much like AA, in theory, it's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. In actuality, it's a lot of people feeling self-important.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people who are like, my wife, she has two glasses of wine every night with dinner, and I just, it's too much. You know, I don't think your wife has a problem. I've heard some, and I understand a lot of it, but I've just heard so many people who just here's the thing. I don't think you should go somewhere so that other people can feel bad for you. This whole
What about if you drink to deal with your other family?
All of these things, though, every single one of these things is a place that someone can go so that someone could tell them, I feel bad for you and I'm here for you. And that is such a bad crutch that people don't fucking need in this. I talk about things that we could – the human race could use a little bit of fucking sack up right about now. Sack the fuck up. Someone you love is an addict. Fucking help them.
Or walk.
Or walk.
Yeah.
Those are the choices. You can come to a meeting once a week, and I can remind you of those choices. But I'm letting you know right now, the meeting, if Alex Mandelberg is running it, is about 5 minutes and 30 seconds. 30 seconds of me telling you, sack up, tell them to fuck off, or get them help, and then 5 minutes of coffee and snacks. All right?
Well,
and during coffee and snacks, no talk of your addict fucking loved ones, all right? None of that. We had 30 seconds where I told you need to sack the fuck up. That's all we're talking about that.
I'd go to that meeting.
It's a good meeting.
For the snacks.
It's a good meeting. It's a good meeting.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like those people, I always say, it's like you can only help those people if they want to help themselves.
Yeah.
And eventually you're just talking to a wall.
Yeah, listen, I get that it's hard, but going to a place where people can just feel bad for you, that's not helpful. It's, if anything, that feeds more into the problem, because I think a lot of us will admit we've reached the point where science is almost...
I just feel like you feel really strongly about that. Do you have anybody close to you that's like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yes.
How many degrees of separation?
Oh, I've lived with them growing up.
Alcoholism?
No. This is what's this. I'm breaking all the rules if I talk about it. But you know what? Fuck it. I will talk about it because this is why I have these feelings. When my mom and my dad got separated, one of the, like, here's the thing. Maybe my dad cheated on my mom. Maybe she didn't. Maybe he didn't. That was not the story that was painted to me growing up as to why my parents split up.
Yeah.
The story that was painted to me was my dad was a marijuana addict. And for the longest time, I was like, oh, marijuana must be the worst thing in the fucking world. And my mom was in Al-Anon for this. And then, like, I grew up and I'm like,
okay,
wait a second.
Now I see why you feel so strong.
Wait a fucking second. And here's
makes
the thing.
Way more sense.
Here's the thing. My mom is still in Al-Anon to this day, fucking 12 years divorced from my dad. So, like, and the
and
amount of times.
That's her addiction.
That's her addiction.
Yeah.
And by the way, my mother, who has 3 glasses of wine a night. So
of course.
It's really like my feelings about this are it's such an enabling. It's just a room of people enabling you.
You're like, my dad was just a Bob Marley fan. That's it. Yeah.
And then it's the same way. At AA meetings that they go, it's one day at a time. You could be 6 months sober. You have a drink tomorrow. You come back here. It'll be your first birthday. And we'll celebrate that just the same as if it'd been 6 months and a day. We'll celebrate one day. And I go, no, that's not how you help people. You don't help people by going, hey, if you relapse, man, we just fucking attack this again. No, you set consequences. You make promises that you keep.
This is like
this whole one day at a time, man. Every day you can be forgiven every single day. No. Your loved ones will eventually reach a snapping point where even if you do get clean, they still won't give a fucking talk to you.
Yeah, lots of
that
people
is
you lose
the
lots
fact.
Of friends. I just think it's kind of like your situation. It's just like your mom and marijuana addiction, and there are people that like go through like where they're like stealing and lying and doing all sorts of crazy things for a fucking hit of crack or dope or whatever. And I feel that that's like. You know, it's more heartbreaking.
The last thing an addict needs is a room full of people telling them it's okay. Because as soon as they leave that room, that's when the depression sets in. And depression is what leads to addiction. So just giving people this satisfaction, it's like giving them a drug that you then take away from them again. So they need to find another drug to fill that space.
Well, I don't think the 12-step program.
This is where I say I think America could use a health. If there was a drug called Sack Up, I would prescribe it. Coast to coast.
It's called Trump.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I fear so much that that's really how a lot of America feels, though, and that's why he's getting so many votes, is because they're like, we could use some sack up, and he's sack up.
Oh, man, dude. It's like I look at those videos, and I see just scared faces.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Those people think that they're the brave ones. The most scared are the ones who usually think they're the bravest. That's just... It's usually the guy who's just like, no, I got to do what I got to do. That's the brave motherfucker. The quiet one who stands in the corner is like, Bernie's got good points. So, Hillary's probably going to win, though. Like, that guy is the guy I'm like, oh, fuck, he'll run into a burning building. Oh, shit. All right. Anyone else got anything they want to say about AA before we move on?
No, I just don't understand how there is such a huge epidemic of people getting hooked on opiates when it's like, hi, it fucking kills you.
We prescribe them. That's why. Because doctors prescribe them. People in this country trust doctors exclusively.
That's true.
That's just, I mean.
And as a Hispanic, I don't take pills. I don't like drugs often. That's why I only smoke weed. Like, I have anxiety, too, by the way, that I suffer from, and that I just only smoke weed for, because I just can't do pills.
No, my dad ripped me off Ritalin so fast when he saw it. He's like, there's no high, no low. You were just this fucking, I was a zombie. I didn't exist. I was a shell that did my homework, sure, but fucking wasn't happy about anything.
Passion flower works really good for anxiety.
Okay, hippie, we're moving on.
It does. I have a neighbor. Hippie. She's like, super like she just her brain goes to like
is her
she,
name passion flower
no she just gets a little crazy like about
yeah, April
like
just
she,
if you go she, down on a girl name
no name, no she gets like a little crazy flower. About her like her man and stuff, and she's all like, and I went in his email and I went and did this and I'm just like, calm down, and I like, fucking took her to Whole Foods and I got a little tincture, and she's like wow, I feel like I took a Xanax. I'm like, yeah, but it was $12 for a bottle at Whole Foods.
So moving on. So the D.A.R.E. program might be going soft on 420, which, frankly, they should be going soft on the whole program because it fucking sucks. And you, did you take D.A.R.E. growing up, Frank?
Yeah, but I was also like in like East Side San Jose in like the shitty poor times of school. So it's like I lived in like a poor part of town. There was like I wasn't involved in gang
How
violence.
How poor was it?
I know, right? I wasn't involved in gang violence, but I was always adjacent to it. You know what I mean? Like, it was always a few blocks away. There was always a dude that I went to school with who was doing stupid shit. Like,
when you heard gunshots, it was the like
no,
the
no,
really
no.
far off
no,
one.
No. Yeah, not too far away. It was close enough. It was like two blocks down. That was how close it was.
Oh, so you heard the
yeah, like it was the, like, oh, fuck.
The hard snap.
No, yeah, let's hang out in the back room. But it was one thing. So when I'd see people do the D.A.R.E. program, I just be like, dude, it's like, what are you fucking? It was like, you just see like just how terrible it was. And I was like, well, what else do you think they're going to fucking do?
It has been driving children to drugs for fucking over two decades. Yeah. Like, how long do you like, this is what a primary example of like, how long do you have to fuck something up
before you'll just call it
fucked up.
Yeah, they're like, well, you don't want to be drug dealers and have all this money and sell drugs and package it to people that are poorer than you around your neighborhood.
And do it in parks and public areas. And like, you're like, but why are you telling them?
For really good money. And you're just like, you just told them how to do it.
You're like, what? This?
And make sure you never buy any of these specific things show you exactly what they look like and then tell you all of their desired effects.
And they make you hallucinate.
Yeah. Did you know if you mix bleach and these household products you could get at any store? And
I'm just like,
Why are you doing this?
My favorite thing to do would be wear my D.A.R.E. shirt, like a vintage D.A.R.E. shirt to raves.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it became an ongoing joke. It would become people would be like,
we all fucked up with my D.A.R.E. shirt.
Yeah, it's such a
There's a kid who would sell drugs. He would sell weed after school, and he'd call it his D.A.R.E. meetings. So he'd be like, hey, guys, we're having a D.A.R.E. meeting after school.
God,
and then
amazing.
Teachers would be like, yeah, you guys should all go to the D.A.R.E. meetings. And he'd be like, yeah.
Yeah,
and
you then, should.
And then they would, and that's how he would sell drugs.
That's pretty awesome.
Was there like a D.A.R.E. club?
It was just him. Just
all the stoner kids. It was like, yeah, bro, D.A.R.E.
I mean, they're really making a difference.
They no longer consider marijuana to be a gateway drug.
Well, that's the big one. Cool. I guess getting rid of the whole gateway stigma was... It was a giant step.
Well, because there's always the thing is of like, because like my cousin died of an overdose and he did a lot of drugs and drank. He did a lot of shit. But it was like whenever people tell me about like the gateway drug, I honestly believe the people that do those kind of crazy drugs were going to do those drugs in the first place. Those were those kind of just people.
And normally we're finding out that the real gateway drug was the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, it's the ones that are processed and made.
Yeah,
it's like it's just so it fucking.
I mean, I've had a Vicodin prescription before, and I still remember it was when I jacked my knees up. They gave me 90, and I took them in like fucking like 45. I was taking like two a day, and I went back after
a month and a half. The doctor's like, so do you need another prescription for some more Vicodin? I was like, no, no, no. Like, I had to scream it before I thought about it because I knew I would have just been like, fucking yeah, give me double so I don't have to come in as often.
I remember getting my wisdom teeth removed, and I had such good insurance because I had insurance through my work and I had insurance through my parents. And the doctor was just like, all right, you're just going to come in. We're going to do the operation. You don't have to worry anything. And he's like, I can, you know, give you a prescription for your drugs now so you guys can just take care of it and they'll be ready for you when you get home. So he gives me a prescription. I go home and I give the prescription to my mom to go fill out. And she looks at it and she goes, holy shit. She almost was like, what? She was like, this fucking dude gave you oxycodone.
Oxycodone?
Not oxycodone, the higher form.
Oxycodone.
Oxycodone's Percocet.
No.
It was basically codeine.
Yeah.
Is what it was. It was just fucking straight, like, code. And the guy.
No. He was probably giving you Dilaudid.
It was just, all I know was they're supposed to give you Vicodin. Percocet. What he gave me was something that you get when you fucking are like deep pain.
Yeah. So that's Dilaudid.
Yeah. So my mom was just like, take
Dilaudid, by the way, for those of you who don't know, Dilaudid is just science's word for heroin. It's heroin. It is heroin.
Yeah. She was like, take two of these. And I did. And dude, it was like I fucking melted into the couch.
Yeah.
I was so happy. I was playing video games and I was just like, I loved everything.
The first time, because I had to take Dilaudid when I had stomach issues and I was in the hospital for like a week. And I remember going in, they get me into the ER and I was in the worst pain I'd ever been in my life. I hadn't held down anything in 4 days. Puke and water, everything that goes in my mouth came right back out. And she walks in with a needle full of Zofran, which is what they give cancer patients to deal with their nausea, and a needle of Dilaudid. She puts the fucking Zofran in me. I'm like, all right, well, I'm not nauseous, but the cramps and the pain and the – she hit me with the Dilaudid needle. Not only was the pain gone, I was happy. I was in a good mood. The first thought in my mind as soon as that needle hit my vein, I was like – oh, I see where people get into this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I see. If you have nothing going in your life, this is something to live for.
Yeah.
This is. Sure, I'll get up for this.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. I got nothing else to do at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And the stories that I hear that people get into because of that. Oh boy.
So it turns out that there's like been a lot of propaganda and things going around with it, but. They are not saying – they still recognize marijuana as a dangerous drug for the youth, but I guess they're not
– listen,
they didn't. They kind of didn't answer the question of whether they still consider it a gateway drug. So in a way, they are lightening up their stance on it, but they're not like fully admitting it.
I think 18 is a good age.
Dare, here's our final parting words for you. Fuck off right unto the sunset. You've done no good. You've done all harm. You're a piece of shit organization. You've wasted a lot of government money. You've wasted a lot of police officers' times. You're wasting about an hour a week in schools across the country.
And you taught me all about drugs. Thank you.
And you taught us all about drugs and how to find them, where to find them, how to buy them, how to make them. And hey, if you want kids to do less drugs, maybe don't shove drugs in their face.
In like elementary school.
Like a full-on course on
if Dare really wants to do something, go to high schools and be honest with kids. Don't go to fucking elementary schools and play this exaggeration game.
I wouldn't have known what a joint was, and then I saw one at my neighbor's house, which is where my best friend lived growing up, and I took it because I was like, that's bad. And then I took it and I didn't smoke it. I took it and I threw it, like got rid of it because I was little. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And my friend's stepdad was flared.
As he should be. You fucked with his weed.
Fuck
you. Piece of shit.
Yeah.
What piece of shit, kid.
What?
Fuck you.
To this day, he might not have known, but I just admitted it. I took it and I put it under the stairs.
I'd have taken a fucking belt and turned your rear end red.
What kid comes to my house and steals
my weed? I will fucking break you, kid.
The first joint I ever rolled, my mom found and took it from me. I was very disappointed. I tried 3 times and I got perfect 2 joints that I was going to smoke before school in the morning. And I'm never getting up on time ever. So my mom knew something was up when I got up on time to get to the bus to go to school. She's like, something's up. She found my joints and got rid of them. And I flipped the fuck out. And I was like, oh, now I know.
You bitch. You fucking bitch. My fucking weed.
Exactly. I felt like so guilty. Sorry, Charlie.
All right, moving on. Legal marijuana is finally doing what the drug war couldn't, shutting down. We've talked about this a few times, but we've got some more numbers that are even better.
So marijuana seizures at the Southwest border were lower this year than they've ever been. They seized 1.5 million in marijuana. If you're like, that's still a lot. Like 6 years ago, it was up around 4 million.
Yeah.
So there's nobody wants their weed.
Yeah. Have you seen their weed?
It's terrible. Well, not in years. I haven't seen it, thank God.
I went to the Cannabis Cup, and shout out True Humble. I met a great company, and they were growing outdoor weed and stuff, and they were just so awesome. But it was like, if you legalize it, then you get people who are like botanists, people that are real scientists, people that really love to grow and genetics and stuff, and they grow good quality, get you fucking high, cure this cancer weed. And when it's compared to just the stuff Mexico grows, it's like, why would you grow that? Because it also, the first time I smoked Mexican weed, it was like they explained to me why it looked like it came in a block and because it got transferred over.
Yeah.
And it's like the blood diamonds of weed. And it's like people have died over this weed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's not that good. Like if
they crossed the border, yeah,
and it was 50 bucks an ounce.
Yeah, it's like if it's like for this many people to die over it, you would think it would get me so fucking high. You know what I mean? Like
And it usually wound up being more seeds and sticks than weed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like if they legalize it, it's like you just cut out this whole market of people. You know what I mean? And then that money just starts coming back to America.
Now, the downside is that these farmers are going to start growing poppies and making heroin. Now, we're seeing how big of a drug that's becoming in the U.S. right now as a result. But, I mean, that's the one place where some of these libertarians almost make – where they're like, listen, if you legalize all of it, you kill the illegal trade.
Exactly.
And I'm like, you're right, but fucking –
the other thing
how can we legalize products we know people kill themselves with?
The cartel will always do whatever it takes to make money. There's nothing that we could do to really prevent that. No. We can take steps into trying to sustain it or not sustain it, but suppress it and stop it. But they'll always make money.
Would you ever support legalization of cocaine, heroin, methamphetamines?
Yeah.
As long as it's not ruining people's lives. But that's
it is
thing.
Though. We
so
know it is.
That's, I think you should. I think
so
you
is
should
alcohol
treat...
and stuff. You know what I mean? It's just it's all up to the people. People can't be trusted yet, is what I'm saying.
I think if you should treat heroin addiction with heroin.
Mm. All right. Slowly wean them off it.
Yeah.
Talk about a cool fucking hippie.
Yeah. Fucking hey, man. I want to go to April's fucking drug rehab center. She's like, here's the drugs. Just take them. No, here you go.
You take a little bit of this drug.
Just take a little bit of
these
them.
Hot chicks.
Yeah. Go party with the naked strippers outside. Yeah. You want some acid? Yeah, take some acid. There you go.
Do I think it'll ever get everything legalized? Probably not. But I remember.
But
Mexico,
would you support it? That's the question I'm asking. Would you support full legalization of everything under this guise of, well, we're killing the illegal trade?
If it was in Vegas,
Frank, not April.
If it was one place, because I remember they were going to do something like that in Mexico and then they all stopped it, but it was going to be like Amsterdam where it was just fucking crazy because the tourism would be nuts.
Yeah, the tourism
imagine
goes crazy.
Imagine a Vegas where it was like, all right, you guys can do coke, you guys can do heroin, everything's legal. But,
and they have bullfighting.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's totally legal. Everything that's illegal is legal, but it's only in this place. But you guys, you know, got to be fucking careful and not stupid. But it's all totally up to you guys and in your hands. It's like, all right, cool. I'll go to Vegas, do some fucking coke, and I don't have to worry about some bullshit. But it's also up to the people. You know what I mean?
Wow. Listen,
that's
a
pretty much
dangerous
how it goes in Vegas
choice.
Anyway.
I know, right?
It certainly would do a lot to kill this illegal trade. It would fucking – it would
– no, it's just that – They're getting the pressure to have higher quality, so now people are getting caught bringing weed from here to there.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's about the quality.
Yeah.
Could you imagine some Marlboro with cocaine? That'd be great.
Well, now they've made it legal to grow in Mexico so that they can try to make it better.
Mm-hmm. But they won't be able to.
Nah, man.
Because you just – here's this is a soil thing. This is getting into the real botanicals. That Central America just doesn't have – the best growing soil in the world. It can grow, but it isn't that wonderful wet like Pacific Northwest. That's why like the further you get up the West Coast, the better it gets. California weed is good, but the indoor stuff in California is better.
Even the outdoor stuff, it's not like they're sticking it in the ground. They're using soil or a soil cocoa mix.
The outdoor stuff that you get in California that's any quality is all coming from further northern up the coast.
Not necessarily.
Where it's not really California. It's much more Oregon and Washington. Yes. Like once you're north of San Fran,
fan. Yeah, I know there's another 150 miles of California, but it ain't really California. That is Oregon. That's Oregon, Washington. That is Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
But it's also like this certain part in Central America that grow great wheat, but it's very small, rainforesty, bottom equator places.
Yeah, it's much closer to South America, mm-hmm. like right near Panama area. Yeah. You get a little bit better because you're starting to get jungly, but Mexico is very desert.
That's
why you put up a fucking warehouse.
Well,
and you blow that shit
up. Seriously, the blood of Mexicans on weed. Oh, it's so good. No, it's the highest you'll ever be.
It's the best quality you'll ever get in the world. I'm glad to hear that these guys can't fucking sell their shitty. I smoked it and I hated it every time. You had to roll blunts because you had to smoke like five of them with your friends just to get a buzz going. We used to blow through an ounce in like 3 days of this fucking stress. It was so gross. So fucking gross.
They're switching over to meth and heroin instead.
Yeah, because of course.
That's where the money's at.
Because of course they are, because those are still illegal here.
Meth's still to make, easier to make.
Easier to make, easier to transport, sells for more. It's, you know.
Yeah, because you can make it like in less time than it does to take. It takes a long time to grow weed.
Yeah, no, it takes months to grow weed, and if you have all the ingredients, you could make a batch of meth in like a day and a half. You know, like a day to make it and a day for it to cure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just because I've watched Breaking Bad for everyone who's just like, you just watched Breaking Bad. And you're like, fuck you. All right.
Listen, no, I got a cousin.
That blue eyes.
I fucking know people. All right. I got families. All right. Well, this has been a fun episode. I enjoyed this episode.
I had a lot of fun.
Thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
Did you enjoy yourself, Frank?
Yeah, this is great.
What have you got to promote coming out? Tell us about some stuff.
Tell us any roast battle stuff.
Yeah, you got roast. That's right. You're a roast battle man.
Yeah, I'm going against Stuart Thompson April 6th, I think.
Have you ever gone against Joe Dosh?
No, I haven't. I have, actually. It was the doubles match. Him and Pete Kranashian versus me and Hormoz.
Nice.
And then we both won.
You guys beat him, huh?
But Joe's a whole nother monster. He's a huge beast. He's great. Verbal Violence Podcast.
I'll give you some secrets on how to take him down one-on-one. I got some insider for him. I'm not going to release it on the air, but I know. I can tell you exactly how to do it.
Oh, perfect.
Good friend you are.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, with friends like me, you never need enemies. So you got a battle coming up. Are you excited about it?
I'm very excited. I'm very, very excited. He's a good opponent.
You got any test stuff that you can work out? Any good stuff?
Nothing. No, I don't want to let it out of the bag.
No, you don't do that. Shit. You can't. Do that.
I'm going to La Jolla April 1st with Adam Ray, and then I'm going to be at the San Jose Improv 18th and 19th with George Perez and Brian Redband, so it'll be fun.
Very nice. Yeah. Very, very nice.
And I'm just going to be playing fucking Fallout 4 until the division comes out.
I've never been a Fallout fan.
You know what? The first Fallout 3 and Vegas, I love. This new one, I like it, but it's not the same ones that
I feel
play.
Like every... I feel like all these RPG, MMORPG or whatever.
Well, this is like a sandbox RPG.
Yeah, but I feel like all those, it's just a shooter where you keep on having to go a long, long way to shoot anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like I'd rather play Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's a super loner game. You know what I mean? It's like a game you play by yourself and like you close the blinds and fucking just
crack out.
You know what I mean? Just fucking 19 and a half days later. Yeah. You're
like
just,
I love Destiny.
Zombie to 7-Eleven to get more Hot Pockets.
Exactly.
Like I tried Destiny. I couldn't get into Destiny.
Yeah, the first time it came out, I didn't like it. The expansions were good, but they kind of fucked up with it real bad. I could go on about just a company that
the new Mortal Kombat immediately launched itself into one of my top five party games of all time.
I might have to pick that up.
As a party game,
Mortal Kombat forever.
Best party game. It quickly passed Super Smash Brothers because you know the matches are over quickly because it's still Mortal Kombat, but the move set is simple enough that if you're really good at the game or if you're a beginner, like the really good guy will beat you 2 out of 3 times.
Oh, okay.
But you can actually get a win in there because you can learn how to do some moves pretty quickly and figure out. I love it All the characters and the fucking deaths and the fucking heads, the blood,
fatalities
are wonderful.
And then I'm going to be playing I'm going to be playing The Division, Tom Clancy's The Division.
It's a fucking nerd.
Huge nerd, bro.
Nerd and a fucking hippie in here in the studio. What about you, April? What you got coming up?
I'm doing Ryan's show at the Lotus.
Oh, Sloppy Seconds?
It's, I think the 29th of March.
Okay, very fun.
I have some other ones too, but I'm not thinking of them right now. Check my Twitter.
Check her Twitter.
At April Foolin.
I just got back from Redding, California. It was a lot of fun. They're going to have me come back and headline there next year. Nice. So don't have a date for that yet, but 2017, look out. It's apparently going to – they're going to do a stop in Fresno and then Redding and then San Fran and then Oregon and then maybe Southern Washington. We'll see. But that's next year, so you guys have plenty of time to plan to fucking follow me on the road and, you know, follow me to every city and have T-shirts with the names printed on the back, which will not be fucking happening.
Because you are so good at making your own T-shirts, and I just got my dog bath today, and he's got screen printing ink on his leg.
Yes, he does. And yeah, other than that, I've got PUI coming up this month. I will be in Central Washington in Jokers in May. And that's basically what's going on for me. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to the Crab Diving Network. Thank you, April. Thank you, Frank, for being our guest.
Thank you,
Riffopolis Network. And we'll see you all next week. Good night.
Bye.